many tools, too much stress, and way too many bills.
Odoo replaces it all. One connected platform for every part of your business, so you can work faster, smarter, and for less. Odoo, the only software you'll ever need. Try it free today at odoo.com. That's odoo.com.
97.1 FM Talk.
On demand audio.
Welcome back to the Mark Reardon Show. Brad Young sitting in today for the vacationing Mark Reardon. And one of the reasons why I love sitting in here is that I get to talk to people that I would love to talk to in a bar after work, but I get to do it here, and I love doing that. And this is one of those guys. We're going to talk to Nick Kengetis, and he's the assistant managing editor of MRC, you know, Media Research Center. And he talked about an article. He came out rather with an article that really appeals to me, and it's talking about the season. This rioting season. And Nick, welcome to 97.1 FM Talk.
Thanks for having me, Brad.
Well, in fact, this was already in my stack of stuff, Nick, to talk about today, even before I knew that I was going to get a chance to talk to you. And that is that the anti-Israel protesters, pro-Hamas, pro-terrorism protesters, are back in action, apparently. Tell us about what's going on at the University of Washington.
Well, specifically at the University of Washington, apparently Antifa, our favorite black bloc crew of anti-fascist fascists, they apparently set up an encampment. They set multiple fires to, I think, three or four different dumpsters in order to blockade so that they could set up temporary, I don't know, encampment for themselves in the interdisciplinary engineering department. Oh. And the cops, I guess, really didn't do much to deter them. The authorities and the firefighters and all that, they tried to get them to leave, but it just kind of, I guess, upset them more. And so it's at, like I said, it's at the University of Washington, and Antifa does what Antifa does. They, you know, they wear their masks because they don't want to have accountability, because they don't believe in accountability. And while they call everybody else fascists while being fascists.
What? So, you mean it's not all because they're concerned about COVID? What? Really? I'm shocked. Shocked, I say.
You know, the reason I said it was rioting season again. The reason I said it was rioting season again is because I've covered protests, whether it's Antifa, whether it's at universities, whether it's at the Capitol in D.C. They don't come out when there's even a hint of rain outside, or even if it's below, I would say, 60 degrees. It's almost like they're the Wicked Witch and the Wizard of Oz, and they'll melt or something. I don't know. The funny thing is that they'll carry umbrellas so that you can't film them, but they don't feel like using them when there's inclement weather. They don't even show up when there's inclement weather.
Right.
So when the weather starts turning to spring and summer, you know the crazy crazies are going to start coming out of the woodwork.
Well, you know why, and by the way, we're talking to Nick Kengetis and from the Media Research Center. And Nick, you know the reason why they don't show up when it rains is because that's too close to taking a shower. I mean, these people are afraid to take a shower. They're afraid of personal hygiene. And if they walk out in the rain, it might actually clean them a little bit. Could that be what's behind their fear of rain?
I think it's just, you know, like I mentioned a minute ago, they're as evil as the Wicked Witch of the West, where they don't want to melt. These people, I've dealt with Antifa face to face multiple times over the years, and they will freely admit to you that not only are they communists, but they're atheists.
Yes, they will.
And the funny thing is that if you're unafraid of them, unless they have 15 or more of them in a group, I'm a big guy, so they don't mess with me. But I know of colleagues that if they don't have 15 or more people, they're not going to mess with you, because one-on-one, they're nobody.
Right. Exactly. But in a group, all of a sudden they feel emboldened. But here's one of the things.
Mob mentality.
Yes, exactly. And that mob mentality gives them some sort of testicular fortitude. But here's what I want to get to, though. Here's what I want to get to, Nick, and that's this. We're here in St. Louis. I went to church in Ferguson for 30 years. So we were the hotbed, obviously, in Ferguson with the Michael Brown situation. And after the George Floyd situation right here in St. Louis, we had encampments at Washington University, at St. Louis University. And here was the thing that I pointed out, and I want to get your take on this. I pointed out, as people would call in, and I was live on the air, and we were talking about free speech, and people kept saying free speech. But although people have a right to free speech, they don't have a right to occupy private property, to encamp on college campuses, which is private property, and to block Jewish students from exercising their rights to go to classes unless they renounce their faith, which was something that actually happened at, I believe it was UCLA or USC in California. But have you actually seen that situation where the protesters mistakenly believe that they have a right to an encampment under the First Amendment?
I think that these protesters, activists, whatever you want to call them, they will do whatever is expedient to their narrative or agenda. It does not matter how anybody else feels about it. Those same people that will argue to you free speech are the same ones that'll say, yes, but not freedom from consequences. But then when you flip it on them, all of a sudden, oh, you're infringing on my rights while they try to take away everybody else's rights. It's a bunch of bull. It's all performative. It's all for attention because they weren't hugged enough when they were a kid, and it gets to the point. Like I said, I've covered dozens and dozens and dozens of protests over the years, and these people are so they'll be at a protest, and it's supposed to be for a certain issue. And then out of nowhere, they'll start talking about 38 different issues. And you're like, no wonder you guys never get anything done and you're constantly protesting because you can't even focus on one thing for more than 5 minutes.
Absolutely. We're talking to Nick Kengadis. He's with the Media Research Center. And Nick, you said something a few moments ago that I want to follow up on, and that's this. You mentioned that a lot of these are socialists, communists, and atheists. And it's been my experience over the years in talking to a lot of these agitators, these protesters, these really professional protesters that just go from place to stir up trouble. When you get right down to it, even though ostensibly they may, like, for example, here at University of Washington, they may be protesting against Israel and they may call this an anti-Israel protest. But isn't it true that when you peel all the histrionics away, when you get down to the bottom line, why are they here? Aren't these types of protesters, bottom line, about disrupting society and overturning our American culture?
Absolutely, 100%. It's what I call the flavor of the week. Unfortunately, they have activism ADHD. So it doesn't. It could change day to day. You're not even sure once you actually show up to a protest to talk to these people, you're not even sure it's the same protest anymore.
Right. And the only thing that I will give credit, because as we've covered all of these types of protests, whether it was looting, we had a situation right here in St. Louis. I was on the air and watching out the window of the radio station. Active looting going on during one of the protests that happened here when a police officer in St. Louis was acquitted when people wanted him to be convicted. And they were literally rooting. They were literally rioting and looting these stores and taking out armfuls of goods. And I thought, you know, I don't think you're protesting against police brutality by stealing tennis shoes and sneakers. I don't know what those two things have in common. But one thing that they do have in common is if you're against the entire capitalist society where people are actually required to do something and you don't rely on the government to do everything for you, that seems to be at the base, the thing that fuels all of these individuals.
Well, and the funny thing is with a lot of these, and most of them are kids, Like I'm talking between, I would say, 18 and 25. Most of them come from middle to upper class families. And like I said, a lot of them, it's just a cry for attention because they weren't hugged enough as a kid because they probably had a nanny and their parents were never home or they were skiing in Stad or something. And you don't know where to go with these people because, for like I said previously, from one minute to the next, it's like activism ADHD. They don't even know half the time what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I want to get to one particular point here before we let you go, because as I've covered this type of story over the years here in St. Louis and elsewhere, talking about how all of the various protesting groups, one of the things that frustrated me, particularly when it comes to universities, is the university's fear of taking any action. They wouldn't go in and break up an encampment. They wouldn't go in and arrest individuals who were breaking private property laws. They would not do anything. They just stood by and said, oh, there's nothing we can do. It's free speech. When, as we've already talked about, it's not. But here's my question. At least from the coverage that I've read regarding the University of Washington, it seems like eventually police were allowed on campus. I read where at least 30 of the protesters were actually arrested, and the university took a stance. Now, we may debate whether they took a stance quickly enough or early enough, but do you see any movement on college campuses from the administration standpoint today, any movement towards restoring some degree of law and order instead of allowing these communist atheists to run our college campuses?
Well, I mean, in terms of the specificity of the University of Washington case, I know that from, you know, following up on it and everything, supposedly the very next day, Riley Gaines, the yes, activist swimmer, this is according to reports. This hasn't been verified, but supposedly these protesters were throwing feces and calling them all kinds of names and everything. So whether they were eventually arrested or not, they're just going to be let out again, because in areas in states like Washington and Oregon, they get basically they want to be arrested, basically, because they want the optic of being the victim.
Correct.
So even if they're arrested and they're held in jail for what, a day, they're just going to be let out. They're going to do it again. I've seen it time after time, protest to protest. It's the same people at every protest.
Hmm. Yes, and they go from protest to protest. I know right here in St. Louis a few years ago that the majority of those who were arrested during Michael Brown protests and anniversary of Michael Brown protests, the majority of those arrested were from people that were not even from Missouri or Illinois. They were from...
No, they're bussed in.
They were bussed in for these type of events.
A lot of times, like, for example, a few years ago, I covered a protest in front of the Trump building in Washington, D.C., the Trump Hotel. And basically, there was supposed to be a protest there. And all it was, essentially, was a big photo op. The SEIU, the union, bussed in like 30 people. They took a picture with their banner so that they had the photo op. And then they left. And that was it.
Wow. It was truly only a media event then.
Yes.
Unbelievable. We're talking to Nick Kangadas. And Nick, if folks want to follow stuff that you write and how you cover these types of ridiculous protests that are really done to subvert the American culture, how can folks follow you online?
My X handle, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, is at TJTAW44, which stands for Truth, Justice, and the American Way.
I love it.
And then, the website is MRCTV. Media Research Center is the overarching organization. I work for the MRCTV division. We're a little edgier, and we talk about basically everything. So you can find me at MRCTV.org.
Very good. Nick Kangadas, thanks for joining us here on 97.1 FM Talk.
Thanks for having me, Brad.